Yeah, and you too can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters from the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there or be square.
Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Impact
Your
Fourth
Microbiome
Tuesday,
Plays.
Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. Meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference. And this is WHFR Dearborn. This is Betty Daniels, and welcome again, I say, to Impact. I want to let you know that this is a live show. I'm so used to doing pre-record, kind of get caught off guard. But the views that are about to be expressed are not the views of WHFR, Henry Ford College staff, or members. Now, in our studio, we have a young lady, Kendall Owens. And Kendall, I'm going to let you introduce yourself. That's the best way, you know, then we'll go on from there. Okay.
All right. Well, hello. My name is Kendall Owens. I am a student still. I go to Western Michigan University, double majoring in dance and nursing. I have 1 year left, so that's good. I'm excited to graduate. I have a nonprofit organization. It's called New Generation Fine Arts Foundation, and it's a fine arts organization dedicated to promoting and sustaining fine arts in the Metro Detroit area.
Okay, now I'm going to step in there. The way I met this young lady, I was at another event that was sponsored by WHFR. I guess I'll give them a little shout out. Jazz Horizons, they have a joint agreement with Burt's Downtown, and so they had their first affair about a couple months ago now. And at the time, Jablon Jackson, who was one of the guest entertainers or musicians there, that's better, after she more or less presented herself and, you know, did her thing, she was very, very excited about this young person. I guess all of us who are over 30. But she was very, very excited about a young adult who had her own foundation. And this is Kendall Owens, all right? Okay. And so, Kendall, I'm going to let Kendall tell you a little bit about the organization, but kind of like tell us how it came to be, because I'm going to cut her off a little bit, because it's important to let us know about Kendall the person and then how it got into New Generations. Mm-hmm. So first, just give us an overview of New Generations a little bit.
Right. Okay. So New Generation Fine Arts Foundation, our mission is just to provide greater accessibility and more opportunities for underserved ethnicities, developmentally disabled, and mentally ill young artists.
Okay. And you've been operating for how long now?
This will be our first year in operation. So we're new.
All right. You are still in school?
Yes.
Okay. Taking up what?
Dance and nursing, double majoring. It's keeping me busy, but I love them both, so.
All right, okay. That was my way of kind of giving you an idea of how old she was, because I might have asked her, well, I'm not going to tell you how old I am, okay? But I want you to get, just like DeBlanche, I'm very much impressed with the fact that she is a young adult, and she is on the initiation of a young adult, okay? So she's not, you know, young adult getting ready to be somebody old, okay? All right. Tell us a little bit about your career, you know, how, you know, you're dancing, your music, and tell us a little bit about that, because as I understood it. That had a lot to do with how you came about with New Generations, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So I started dancing when I was about 8 years old, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with tap dancing. So I did the studio thing. I danced at different studios. I did competitions. During my studio experience, there were two students there who had Down syndrome. So mm-hmm. I assisted with them. I started teaching dance when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
So moving up from there, I continued dancing, and then it was time for me to go to college. And before, like the year before my senior year when I was going to college, I just wanted to dance my life away. There wasn't really anything else that I was too gung-ho about.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mom mentioned, you should try nursing. I was like, okay, nursing. I never thought about this. Like, I don't know.
Something's going to pay the bills.
So she mentioned nursing, and I was like, well, why would you say something like that? Why did you suggest that? And she said, because you like caring for other people. So if anybody in my family was sick or not feeling well, I was always like, well, let me make you some soup. Let me tuck you into bed. Let me make you feel better.
All right.
So she suggested nursing. So that's where nursing came from. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. So that's where the double major came in dance and nursing. And once I got into nursing, I fell in love with it. I love it.
All right. Now, you said the double major. So you were always had the two things going on, even when you first started college?
Yes. When I went into school, into Western Michigan University, I had the two majors.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know. And what did your counselor say about that?
A lot of people were like, really? You want to do nursing? First of all, nursing, you want to pair that with another major? I was like, yeah. They're like, okay, most people don't do this, and I don't know if it's going to work or how you'll succeed through it. And that was a question I got a lot all the time, like, how are you going to do this?
Okay, let me ask you this. When you, we're going to flash back, check it out, we're flashing back to age 13. All right. When you said that you were helping someone who was Down syndrome,
yes.
What was that like? Now, tell me the challenges about that.
It was really interesting because before I hadn't been teaching or anything. So I was just, the way in teaching somebody who has Down syndrome is different than somebody who doesn't. So it was just a different approach to how you teach. And it was very inspiring because they inspired me to do better. So,
all right.
Just the interaction between us, and I saw when they would get on stage how that would brighten up their day, or even come into like the dance class, it would just brighten up their day just to be there and just to dance. And it was just the overall great experience.
Okay. Now, you were saying about them going from the lessons and then also getting to the performance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've had some performance experience yourself.
Yes.
You know, I'll share some of that. The reason why, and I hope I want helping my audience to understand, is that she has gone through a number of very positive experiences,
mm-hmm.
and this has also impacted her foundation too. But I want the audience to get a sense of those kinds of things that you experienced, you know, the different awards and things that you got into. So why don't we kind of like do it age-wise?
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Age. Okay. Let's see. Where did I start? So let's just start at 13.
Okay. All right.
So
when she was a child.
Yes, when I was a baby. So at this time, I was doing competitions. Traveling within the country, doing different competitions.
Okay, so those competitions were? Which ones? Give me some names.
Oh my gosh, there's so many. Legacy competition, jump dance competition. Kathy Rowe was a big one. We went to that one.
Okay,
all the time.
Now what's the distinctions about these competitions?
They're just dance competitions. So each one has their little, you know, thing about them. But most of them, you know, you go with your studio, whatever dance studio you dance at, you perform your dances and you get awards. So you get like high gold, platinum, gold.
Mm-hmm.
So the highest was platinum. So that was what we were striving for. So get the platinum, Kendall. So yeah, at these different competitions that I would go to, I would get great awards for, you know, performance and opportunities to go to New York or LA to dance and train from these competitions, from them seeing my dances, or also going to their national competitions and being in the special dance that they have for dancers that they would pick within the regional competition.
Yes.
To be in the big national production.
All right.
So I got invitations to that. I did that.
And when you say invitations, what do you mean?
So like you would go on stage and they see your dance and they would invite you to be part of this national dance.
Right.
So with that invitation, there was different people from different states within the country that would participate in this national dance.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned the training. What was involved in the training?
Well, the training, they had different choreographers at the nationals. Some of the things that I was awarded scholarships to attend, different training camps in New York, like Broadway, mm-hmm. Steps, LA, just going and training with different people there. And from these experiences, I met other people, and that's how
all right.
it started snowballing from there.
Okay. Those experiences, how did that impact your, now let me ask you, when you were training, I'll say tutor, okay, when you're tutoring other dancers mm-hmm. or training, now which would you, was it both?
Training. Would say training.
Okay, all right. See, as a person who can't, I know I can dance good, but I won't say anything about any competitions. All right, so that training experience, how did that imply or impact your training, say someone who's a Down syndrome mm-hmm. or to someone who does not have a disability? What's the distinction?
Well, someone who does not have a disability, you can move at a quicker pace.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals with Down syndrome, it's a little bit a slower pace just to make sure they've got everything.
Right.
But there's no difference in how they learn. Like the style
okay.
may be different, but right. they're able to retain just as somebody else would.
Right.
So it's just a little bit slower pace, very clear and direct, and mm-hmm. just more specific and
okay.
clear.
When you are working with someone who, how's the impact for you? Because I know as I've talked to people who teach, there's a certain gratification mm-hmm. you get in person as they learn something
yes.
and they can respond, and mm-hmm. then it becomes their ownership. What does that do for you, the teacher?
It does a lot for me. It pushes me to keep going. It pushes me to do better so that I can offer more information and new mm-hmm. new styles or new ways of dancing or whatever we're doing, new for them, so that I can continue growing myself, so that I can help them to grow as well. So when I see them get on stage or perform somewhere, or even just in class, and they're smiling, having a good time, it just warms my heart, like, okay, yes, this is what it's all about. It's not, you know, necessarily about, oh, we have to be the best. It's about, what are you getting from it,
like, mm-hmm.
in life?
Right. So. When I was reading your bio, you were saying that you had the awareness or became aware of the fact that people who fall into the underserved, would that be a better good way of putting it?
Yes.
We're not getting the same thing that you were getting. Share some of that with us.
So that came from being able to travel to different festivals, so like going to New York, Chicago, LA, those different places, and I was blessed to get scholarships to go to these places, so it made it more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was there, I noticed that there weren't people who really looked like me, or it was just different. I was like, okay, well, I know back at home there are people who dance and who are proficient in the style and everything, who deserve to come, but they're not here.
Right.
So that just made me think, like, what is the reason behind this? And then that's when I became aware that, okay, it is very expensive to do these types of things.
Right.
So as far as it being accessible, it's not really accessible to those who can't afford it, because they can't even get there.
All right.
So the purpose of NewGen is to bring it here in the Metro Detroit area, to make it more accessible for them and give them the opportunity to be exposed to the artistic inclination that they have in those different areas, such as LA and New York.
All right. You've been to LA, New York. New Generations, now, how did that come about?
So that came from me traveling to these different places and just being inspired by the artistry there and the artistic awareness of fine arts in general
mm-hmm.
impacted or influenced me to create New Generation Fine Arts Foundation.
Now, give me an example. Try, because, you know, give us a word picture of.
Yes.
Okay.
So, let's see. For example, when I went to New York,
right.
I went to a tap dance festival because I love to tap dance.
Okay.
So, I was there and I was just surrounded by other tap dancers. And the culture of tap dance is not very present here in the Metro Detroit area.
Okay.
Well, as present as I think it should be, or it can be. So from being there around all these different tap dancers and feeling the unity and the love through the tap, I wanted that here and available to my fellow dancers who I know are here who dance too.
All right.
So I brought, like, for example, Jason Samuel Smith. I met him at a St. Louis Tap Festival. My mentor, Professor Robert L. Reed, he was a world-renowned tap dancer. He traveled. He was on Star Search. He had a festival in St. Louis, and that's how I met Jason Samuel Smith.
All right.
And he's also a tap dancer, so he'll be at our upcoming event, Black Box Teaching. So just meeting these different people has inspired me. Like, okay, yeah, you're doing that. We got to bring it here, because there are a lot of people in the Metro Detroit area who have talent and just need the exposure and the connections with the right people.
All right. Now, you're saying tap. Do you do any other forms of dancing?
Yes, I do. I do all types of forms, all different forms, all genres. Mm-hmm. I've done ballet, or I still do ballet, jazz, modern, tap, hip hop.
Okay. Yeah. So are you just more or less bringing back to the awareness and the stage, and I say community stage, mm-hmm. We use it that way, of the art of dance or the art of tap dance? Just what is it that you are focusing on?
Well, the focus is fine arts in general. So really, I think collaboration through the arts, not just dancers or not just vocalists. So we all can be inspired by each other. So I was inspired by another one of our artists who will be on faculty at Black Box.
All right.
His name is Johnson Simon. He has cerebral palsy, and he's an artist.
All right.
So I was inspired by him. So I think it's like a give and take effect. Like, you inspire me, I inspire you, and we all come together.
Okay. What was the inspiration of these particular people?
So Johnson Simon. So his story is just amazing. He shared at a seminar at Western Michigan University, just this story of living with cerebral palsy and being an artist and all the obstacles he had to face with, you know, advertisement. And it just inspired me that you can do whatever you set your heart to. You can do whatever what other people don't think you can do, you can still do it. So right. His art, he showed some of this, his art that he's also a commissioned artist. He showed some of that art, and I was inspired by it to continue cultivating my craft.
All right.
And collaborating with others to continue building fine arts in general.
All right. Then what was it that got to, from the inspiration, from the experience to a new generation? Give me the history of how that evolved.
So the inspiration to the birth of New Gen.
All right,
okay,
there we go.
So I really think the inspiration just came from unity, the idea of unity through the arts.
All right.
And
when you say unity through the arts,
unity of all people. So no matter the ability, the color, location, just unity through the arts. Like, we can understand each other through music.
All right.
Or we can understand each other through dance, or just through the arts.
We can communicate through each
other. Right, exactly.
All right.
So that inspired me to want to create something, and it wasn't necessarily a nonprofit to begin with. It was just something that can unify all these people under the arts, because I think it has a very powerful impact, and it does connect people of all different types of walks.
All right.
So the nonprofit came when I think I just found out about nonprofits. Really, like, I knew what they were, but then I dug deeper into what a nonprofit was.
All right.
Okay, so nonprofits give back to the community, and everything that you get continues to go back into what you're working for.
Okay, now hold that thought. We're going to take a break for just a minute.
Okay.
Just a reminder that summer classes begin on June 26th, and the deadline to register is June 27th, so you only have a little more time to log on to WebAdvisor and reserve your seat for next semester. If you need help logging out of WebAdvisor, stop by the Welcome Center Monday through Friday or call 1-800-585-4322. That's 1-800-585-4322.
Listener-supported non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.
All right, we're kind of like independent artists, and we got an artist here in the studio. Welcome back to Impact, and with our studio is Kendall Owens. Now, Kendall, we were start off about, you know, how New Generations came about. What is your position with the organization? Are you the chief executive officer? Just what, you know, what is your?
I am the founder and executive director, CEO.
Okay, All right. Now, back to how New Generations came. From the idea that you had the seed for the idea, and you said you learned some things about nonprofits. How did that process, what was the, you know, that process?
The process of wanting the nonprofit? It was an interesting process. I had to learn a lot about how nonprofits operate and what exactly it was.
Let's stop, because you kind of like jump from, when did you start trying to think or study or find out the information? What got you into that?
Oh, okay. So I think I mentioned the idea to someone, I can't remember exactly who it was, but I mentioned I wanted to do this idea, which was the idea of unity through the arts and providing different programs for it.
All right.
So they mentioned, well, why don't you try a nonprofit organization? And I was like, okay, well, I've heard about nonprofit organizations, so let me do more research and figure out what exactly that is. And that's what took me into finding out more about what a nonprofit is.
And what kind of things did you learn and find out?
I learned that there are so many different nonprofits that exist, and they really just give back and plant seeds in the community to help uplift and enrich the lives of others. So I wanted mine to be based on kids, because, or youth, because the youth, you know, that's the future, and I really believe that it's important to continue cultivating their crafts and giving them the opportunities that they want and able to succeed in their dreams. So that's why I focused on youth.
Okay. You said you focus on youth. So we're about in the process. Were this in the planning stages, or, you know, what were some of the plans and what were some of the things that you had to, okay, I can't do this, or I want to do this, or what? So how did you get to that part?
To the youth?
Or just to what type of services you're going to provide, what type of things you're going to do?
Okay. Where initially they came from, I'm not really sure. The ideas kind of just pop in my head, and I'm like, that would be cool, we should do this. So I think just from being around different artists, different vocalists, poets, painters, artists, just from being around them, I always think of a way that, oh, we can collaborate and bring other people into it and just make a wonderful unity type of thing.
All right. Now, you are... are you a year old yet, or are you just, and this is your first year?
This is our first year.
Okay, so when did you start?
We started in July of last year, so we're not quite yet to a year.
Right. Just past the toddler, right?
Yeah, we're just past the toddler. We're almost there.
And what has it been? What has this last year been like for you?
It's been an emotional roller coaster. It has been crazy. There have been, you know, there's always obstacles with everything that you do, but as long as you stay passionate and true to what you believe in, and you keep pushing through those obstacles and finding a way to get through them, it all works out in the end.
Can you share some of those obstacles?
Yes. Let me think of one. I think one of the obstacles for me personally was presenting something that I believe in and something that I'm so passionate about, and wondering and hoping that other people would be as interested and as passionate about it as I am.
All right.
So I think that has really been like kind of like a mental battle. Like, you know, sometimes when you think of something, you're like, oh, I think that's a good idea. But not everybody thinks everything that you think is a good idea. As long as it's serving the community in a greater cause, I think that, you know, you should push forward with what you believe in.
All right. You say you learned about yourself, was that kind of like all of the above? Learn about yourself and also learn about nonprofits. Was it a combination of both?
I think it was a combination of both, because I did learn about myself that, you know, you just got to push for what you believe in and stay passionate and keep going. And also about nonprofits, that it is hard work, and it's, you know, it's a lot of work. It's not easy. No part of it is easy. And I'm sure it's that way for profit as well, but nonprofits in particular, they are, you know, they're a challenge, but I'm up for the challenge.
All right. Who are you serving?
So we serve, the underserved ethnicities, developmentally disabled, and mentally ill young artists.
All right. Mm-hmm. Where do you get them from?
Underserved, we have been in the Metro Detroit area, so all of them come from the Metro Detroit area, our target group. We have been reaching out to DPS schools to get them involved. Also different developmentally disabled organizations. I have a student right now who has Down syndrome. I'm teaching her a dance right now. So she's loving that, and she'll be performing in our upcoming show, Black Box, that will be occurring on July 20th and 21st.
All right. And what is Black Box about? Backtrack. Okay. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, because we're still trying to get done this mm-hmm. whole development of where you are with your new generation. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was one of the obstacles. What has been one of the gratification kind of things that you've experienced?
I think just from talking to people and telling them where my ideas have come from and what I'm trying to do with the foundation, and the excitement that I see, like their responses, and I think that has been very gratifying, and just the different support that we've gotten from different organizations and interests, mm-hmm. that's very gratifying. And also our artists, they're very excited about coming and being in the Metro Detroit area to interact with the students here and provide them the opportunity that they will get elsewhere.
All right. Now, I'm going to assume that you are in your early 20s.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. I'm not close, so you don't, and don't ask where I am. As a early young adult, mm-hmm. trying to talk business in an area where there are a lot of seasoned people, mm-hmm. has there been a challenge in trying to get them to let you in because you're a new kid in the block?
Right.
Okay. What have been some of those challenges?
I think initially when they, you know, when people see, oh, this is a younger person trying to do something that she probably doesn't really know too much about. So when you go into the situation, you just have to be confident and assert yourself in a way that you're confident mm-hmm. and you're strong, but not, you know, overstepping somebody else.
All right.
So it's a collaboration type of thing, and that's how I approach every situation. Like, we're collaborating.
All right.
You can learn from me, I can learn from you. So going into those situations, I think that cuts out any, you know, doubt of, okay, she's young, so she might not know what to do.
That's where the perseverance comes through?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And just always knowing that you can do it. Just the age isn't the qualifying factor.
because music is millennial, mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. And it's old, but it's always new.
Right.
Okay. You can tell, just by the fact you can have musicians that have been in, you know, jazz musician or whatever, mm-hmm. his music or something maybe 50, 20, or year old.
Right.
However, once it's played, then it goes viral. Mm-hmm. Okay. And before we had viral. Mm-hmm. All right. What kind of events and things have you had before up to now?
We have an art exhibition occurring right now. It's at the Carr Center Gallery downtown Detroit. And the exhibition, we have an artist from LA. His name is Kenneth Gatewood. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the Baby Dream Team?
No.
The artist? Okay. Well, he painted that.
Okay, tell us about that. Okay.
So that's his most notable work.
I think now that you mention it, but okay. So tell us about that.
So it's the Baby Dream Team. So there's just different baby basketball players like Jordan. So that's his most notable work. But at the Carr Center Gallery, his work is up for display, and it's also for sale. It's up until June 4th.
Okay. And how does that involve you?
Right. So all the work is on display and for sale, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit New Generation Fine Arts Foundation.
Okay. Now, you were talking about this something coming up in July.
Yes.
Okay, now what is this?
It's called Black Box, and it is a two-day event occurring on July 20th and the 21st.
All right.
So Black Box consists of 22 master classes in multi-genres of dance, vocal, painting, and stage confidence.
All right.
So these classes are taught by industry professionals and celebrities in the industry. So for example, we have Debbie Sledge from Sister Sledge will be teaching our vocal classes.
All right.
Along with her daughter, Camille Sledge.
All right.
We have Jason Samuel Smith, who I mentioned earlier. He's a world-renowned tap dancer. He'll be teaching tap classes.
Okay.
We have Miss Monique Haley, who is a professor at Western Michigan University, and her bio is awesome as well. So she will be teaching jazz.
All right.
Miss Gina Ellis, who is a Detroit native, actually, she will be teaching modern. Mr. Corey Whitfield, he will be teaching hip hop, and he dances with the Detroit Pistons and the Harlem Globetrotters.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And Johnson Simon, who I mentioned earlier, our artist who has, he has cerebral palsy. He'll be teaching the painting classes. Along with myself, I'll be teaching dance classes. So our classes range from beginner to advanced, and they're open to everybody.
All right.
So the first day, July 20th, is master classes. And then the second day in the morning, which is July 21st, that Saturday, that morning we have master classes, and then the event ends in a showcase concert featuring our faculty and underserved ethnicities, developmentally disabled, and mentally ill young artists. So the showcase will be there. General admission is $20.
All right.
So visit www.blackboxblaq.org for more information.
Okay, now you're going to say that again a little bit slower.
Yes. So visit www.blackboxblaqbox.org for more information about Black Box.
Okay, and that's one of your first events, or
this will be our third event. We have another event coming up this Saturday at the Carr Center Gallery as well. It's a paint and sip. So you come and you paint a picture. You're instructed to paint a picture. Our artist is Kenneth Gatewood, who is the gentleman who has the work on exhibition at the Carr Center Gallery.
All right, and where's this gallery located?
It's on, I believe the address is 1505 Woodward Ave.
Okay.
And so it's the Carr Center Gallery. So you come and you paint a picture that you get to take home, and you slip something that you like, mm-hmm. and it's just a great time with friends and family. And a portion of the proceeds from that will also benefit New Generation Fine Arts Foundation to provide scholarships for students to attend Black Box to participate in the master classes there.
All right, now you keep saying we. Who is we?
Well, I say we because New Generation Fine Arts Foundation, we are a collective, we're a community. So it's not just me, it's everybody who is participating in it. So it's everybody's efforts to make New Gen what it is. So mm-hmm. it's bigger than just me or just the board. it's everybody who participates and supports.
How many people are we talking about?
As far as on the
New Generation.
So we're small right now. We have a board of four people. So yeah, that's where we're starting. we're gonna build from there, but you know, you gotta start somewhere.
All right. Now, do you have ongoing activities as part of, you know, New Generations? It's like you have, just tell us, what do you do?
Right now, we do not have any ongoing activities.
All right.
We just have the events that we have planned. So the art exhibition, the paint and sip, that is this Saturday, and Black Box, that's on July 20th and 21st.
What are some of your goals coming this next year?
Oh, Lord. Some of the goals, well, we're going to make Black Box an annual event.
All right.
So that will be occurring next year as well. And probably introduce some more different programs. We're still working those out, so stay tuned and visit our website at www.newgenfinearts.org.
Okay. Uh-huh. What then is New Gen about then? So your purpose is to... what is your mission statement?
Our mission is to provide greater accessibility and opportunities for underserved ethnicities, developmentally disabled, and mentally ill young artists.
Okay, and then your way of doing that is how?
Through different programming, so different events that will provide them the opportunity to continue cultivating their crafts. So like Black Boxes, your training, your networking, you're getting the education, you're meeting new people. So really,
so let me see if I'm understanding you correctly. the events then is the end product or the way of displaying what's these the, your core group of people are able to do. Let me say it another way. Mm-hmm. So who is eligible to be a part of New Gen? Let's start that way.
As far as participate in the events, mm-hmm. all are welcome to participate in our events. It's really just to bring the accessibility and make the opportunities available to underserved ethnicities, developmentally right. disabled, okay. and mentally ill. So we want everybody to participate to, you know, continue cultivating and promoting unity.
Right.
So, yeah, everybody's welcome.
All right. 3 years from now, what do you see the New Gen being?
Well, I am gigantic, and I would like to see New Gen grow even bigger to be have more programming and a longer event for Black Box. So more rigorous training, more outlets and more opportunities to learn about the fine arts. So not just the performance side of it, but like the backstage right. type of thing. So like if you say a student is interested in learning how to produce a show,
right.
we would have a program for those students to learn or follow the producer of the show
all right.
and find out more about what that's about. Or if you wanted to know more about nonprofits, then you would follow, like, for example, you could follow me and right. I could tell you more about
okay.
what nonprofits are about. So it's not just the performing aspects of the fine arts. It's everything that goes into it, from like advertising, promoting, finances. So anything with that, because there are jobs available in those areas. It just, you know, you have to know the right people and know what to do.
All right. Let's take another break and then we'll get right back to what you were telling us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Vintage rock, rhythm and blues comes alive on the Rolling and Tumbling program Tuesdays at 4 o'clock on WHFR Radio, listener-supported non-commercial radio from Henry Ford College.
Are you coming to WHFR's garage sale? We have a ton of stuff for sale, and while you're digging through that, you can dig on some music from Troy Gregory and Super Birthday. They will be playing right outside our studios here at Henry Ford College while you rummage through some of our electronics, our vinyl, our Stasem merchandise, and much, much more. Stop by the WHFR garage sale happening June 7th in Building M on the main campus of Henry Ford College.
All right, we're back now with Kendall Owens, and she was telling us a little bit about New Generations and what the opportunities that she's looking forward to. Tell us a little bit about Kendall Owens, the nursing student.
Oh, the nursing student. Well, nursing is, it's so dynamic. There's so many opportunities in nursing. I love it. I love the clinicals. I have 1 year of nursing school left, and then I'll go on to hopefully working in the ER and also, you know, working with the nonprofit as well. So nursing school has been very rigorous and challenging, but in a good way. I think it has had a great impact on me starting this nonprofit organization as well, because, you know, you learn about therapy through the arts. So you use the arts to help other people, you know, cope with different aspects of their life or different diseases or anything that they're going through. So you don't have to maybe medicate them as much, so they can use this alternative modality. So like for me, I would use dance if I was going through something, and just to help with their quality of life.
All right. Now, how do you, you know, that's a left hand and a right hand. Do you divide it equally, or just how does it, you time between the two focuses?
Well, time wise, I think it's just, you gotta make it work somehow. You gotta make it work somehow. I try not to think of them as divided and think of them as working together as one. So my dancing skills helps me with my nursing skills, and my nursing skills help me with my dancing skills. So really making them coexist.
Okay, now what type of nursing are you going into?
Well, when I graduate, I plan to go into the ER.
All right.
But the ultimate goal is to be a certified nurse anesthetist.
Okay.
So that's the nurse that, you know, puts people to sleep when they're going for surgery.
All right. What are the three most challenging things that you've experienced in this year of being New Generation's executive director? Is that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Most challenging is time management. So managing the time between the foundation, nursing school, and also being a dance major, because, you know, I don't want to pull my focus or not be fully invested in any of them as much as I could be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the biggest challenges. I think also another challenge is answering people's questions of, you know, how are you doing this? How are you going to survive and continue growing? So that's been a challenge, and I've learned more about myself of how I'm going to do things and what is driving me to do that.
Okay.
The third challenge, let's see, I think would be figuring out what's going to happen in the future. So longevity.
All right.
I think, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of like summarized a little bit earlier, the goals that you have.
The three goals.
And we're not even going to lock you into any different time. So what are the three goals that you want to see? Is like, you're looking back, okay, I accomplished this, this, and this.
Mm-hmm.
With New Generations.
I want, from New Generation, I would like to see more collaboration throughout the arts. So, you know, musicians working with dancers, artists working with musicians. So more connectivity and unity through the arts of all artists. I would like to see more opportunities here for all artists as well. So not necessarily having to leave the Metro Detroit area just to, you know, make a living and do exactly what you want to do. I want to see that here. You can do exactly what you want to do here and not feel like you have to leave if you're comfortable here. Yes, it's great if you would like to leave, like you want to go experience other places as well. But I want people to feel like they have that accessible to them here.
Okay.
And lastly, I would like to collaborate with other, you know, other nonprofit organizations and other organizations in general, just to provide the greatest impact and positive influence we can on young artists.
Okay. I want to thank Kendall Owens, okay, for sharing with us about New Generations.
You're welcome.
Okay, and again, you have this event. What's the event that you have coming up?
It's called Black Box, occurring on July 20th through the 21st. Please visit www.blackbox.org for more information. And we also have a paint and sip on this Saturday from 4 to 7 at the Carr Center Gallery. Please visit www.newgenfinearts.org for more information about the paint and sip.
Okay, thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very, very much. And I'm saying
Impact Fourth Tuesday. Every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m., meet people who are about making a difference in your community. Our programs are designed to be a catalyst that helps nonprofits and other community organizations get the word out to you and help them to reach their goals and potential in serving others. Listen to Impact every fourth Tuesday at 1 p.m. and see who is making a difference.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Very good. Thank you very, very much. And I'm saying Reverend Barry, but how do you like to be officially known?
Nope, that's fine. Reverend Barry, most people call me Pastor Barry.
Okay.
Either one is fine.
All right, then. All right. Well, Pastor Bear is from the Messiah Church in Detroit, and I was there visiting him. Well, let me backtrack. This is part of a series of interviews that I'm doing on how
different nonprofits are collaborating with each other to make a difference in the community. So Reverend Berry was, Pastor Berry was recorded to me by Susan North, and she was very impressed by him, and I was myself. So Pastor Berry, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and Church of the Messiah?
I've been pastor of Church of the Messiah for the past 15 years. Church of the Messiah is a 143-year-old Episcopal church on the east side of Detroit, East Grand Boulevard in Lafayette, to be exact. Our congregation is mixed race, but it's 60% black male under the age of 30.
All right.
We have a lot of ministries. Our largest one is our housing corporation. We have 213 units of housing in the area. We got an 84-member marching band and drum line. We have a bike shop. We have a resale shop. We have a computer lab, a makerspace. We started a tea beverage company about 20 years ago, and it's in all the Whole Foods stores, and it's going to be launched nationwide also. We have a clothing line that's called Kill the Hate. We grow our own food, and the church is totally about empowerment. And how I met Sandy is we work on projects together. We stand up against gun violence in Detroit. So for the past 10 years, we do a Silence the Violence parade and community walk. And in October, we have an event that's called Fallen Angels, where we honor the innocent victims of gun violence.
All right.
So we do a lot of proactive stuff.
Yes, and all he said that in 1 minute, okay? But yes. Now, when I was there, and I took a tour with one of the young men that is a member of your church, and one of the things that you brought up with about him is that the turnaround that his being involved with your ministry. And when, I guess for my listening audience, when he says ministry, we're talking about the different nonprofits that you're working on. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So the gentleman, and was it Dante?
No.
Dante was one of them.
Dante.
Right, right. But there was another young, the one.
The white.
Right. Okay. There we go. All right. They were showing me one of the things that they were saying about the different, I'll use the word ministries, was that each person is invested in the project. So they're not just coming in and, you know, receiving, they're also giving into the project. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Why don't you take one of them? Let's go with the housing ministry. No, backtrack. There was another one. We talked about the beverage, because I remember there was a beverage that you're helping them to manufacture the beverage. And how does that work?
Oh, yeah. One of the things that we were doing the day that you were here, we have a leather craft operation. It's a business. It's called New Work Leather.
Mm-hmm.
And young people work, and they make belts, shoes, purses, anything made out of leather. So that's one of the things that's also manufactured here. Housing Corporation was started way back in 1978. And it started off with one apartment building in the community and neighborhood that we rehabbed. It eventually turned into 213 units, which is townhouses and apartment buildings.
All right. Now, what land area are we talking about when we talk about these housing units? I know it's on the east side, on the East Grand Boulevard. And is it just, now those were like not condominiums, were like duplexes. So where are the other people located?
It's on East Grand Boulevard. It's also on Field Street, which is one block away from the church on East Grand Boulevard.
Okay.
So on Field Street, we have two blocks where nearly all of the housing was put back, and it's almost all townhouses on that street.
Right.
And on East Grand Boulevard, it's four apartment buildings and the rest are townhouses.
Okay. Now, when you were part of what you were also saying was that the investment into the youth, and this one youth, he came in, he was on probation, and now he's gone to different things, and there's about the band ministry and things like that. Can you tell us a little bit about that young man?
One of our young men, he came in, he was on probation, he was in some serious trouble, so he came to the church to do community service. When he came to do the community service, we found out that he was extremely gifted and talented. So he's a gifted artist, but he's also a rapper. He's a model.
Okay.
He also is a videographer and photographer. He started an organization that's called I Am Production, which goes around and tells stories and makes documentaries and also videos and short films. So all of that came from this young man who came into the church, and he came in as a car thief. He came to do community service, but then having a conversation with him, we were trying to figure out why he was stealing cars, but we found out that he was gifted in the process, so we just told him to concentrate on his gifts and not his problems. Now he's working with PBS, doing a TV series with them in Detroit, and then he's going to be working with the United Nations doing a documentary in Brazil next year.
All right. That's one of the of how your ministries work. When you are working with the community, how do you approach, you know, your different projects and things like that?
Well, what we do is eventually, because there is a team of people here, eventually when the young people come, and we notice those who come on a regular basis, meaning they're just not coming in just being curious, they're coming and they're staying. And part of the reason why a lot of them are coming and staying is because their friends, some of them who used to be in trouble, they see that they get a job, they get back in school, they have all of these different types of opportunities. So their friends come out of curiosity, they come and they find that the church service is good, but the church service is about empowering them. So there's times we sit down and talk to them, but there's times when they come to us,
all right.
They will say, I got an idea, or this is what my gift is, and this is what my talent is. And then we just take that, because we have so many community partners and work with so many businesses and nonprofits, that we just give them the opportunities that they need. But eventually, there is a one-on-one conversation that takes place.
All right. Now, I saw all of what you just said happening while I was there visiting. There was a other, and Dante was the one who joined us as we were going through the tour. And
WHFR has cleaned.
Very good. Thank you very much.
But there's a segment of our population which is not included in that. And they don't see that. They don't see this bright future for Detroit. So the church, seeing that we are church, we're not a business, we're not the government, we're none of that. Our mandate comes from the Bible. And so what we do is we just make God tangible. We consider ourselves we are the people of God. So we go and work with the least of these and make them the sum of these so they can be with the rest of these, so they're not on the bottom, and to teach them to use.
Listener supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn.
Are you coming to WHFR's garage sale? We have a ton of stuff for sale, and while you're digging through that, you can dig on some music from Troy Gregory and Super Birthday. They will be playing right outside our studios here at Henry Ford College while you rummage through some of our electronics, our vinyl, our Stasem merchandise, and much, much more. Stop by the WHFR Garage Sale, happening June 7th in Building M on the main campus of Henry Ford College.
Can be dancing with Daddy G every Tuesday afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Malt Shop, right here on WHFR.FM. The jukebox will be spinning the platters. From the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and join me, Daddy G, at the Malt Shop on Tuesdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Be there or be square.
Are you coming to WHFR's?
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Guys and dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G. And we're going back to the 50s and 60s. Today's Motown Day. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop where the jukebox is playing. The kids are dancing. And here we are, back in the 50s.